Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We are doing another quarantine episode of Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to jump right in. Tonight we have singer-songwriter Derek Smith, a.k.a. Studded Leather. Derek, a.k.a. Studded Leather, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
It's so funny. You dressed in all white and I dressed in all black. That just means it's going to be a good, balanced interview.
Yes, you got both ends of the spectrum.
That's right, man. So I saw in your bio that you were born in Michigan. What part of Michigan?
The southwest most part. It's a little town called Niles. There's about 2,000 population.
That's awesome. And you didn't stay there long? Your family moved to the West Coast you went to the East Coast first and then you went to the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I went to the East Coast, New Jersey, where my father's from. And I lived there until I was in sixth grade. My mother came to visit California because she had a brother that lives here. And when she came back to New Jersey, she said, "We're moving." And we
moved. That's awesome. She's like, "The weather's good. There's lots of good people and good vibes." That's awesome.
That's right. That's exactly what she said.
And your dad was like, really? Okay. So you guys made that whole drive. Do you remember how long it took you?
We waited. We lived in New Jersey for about a month, and then my mother and my sister and I flew to California, and my father came a little bit after.
That's amazing. You know, I always, I've driven across this country quite a bit, either with touring or family trips or whatever. I've never done a drive across the entire country. And so I'm always curious, if anybody's done it, how long it takes them, because I've heard varying reports of 4 days or up to 7 days and sometimes longer if it's more scenic. So that's why I was asking.
Yeah. I've never driven across the state. We flew.
You were like, let's not take, days. Let's just get there as fast as we can. I like it. That's your mom right there. Your mom is like, let's get there as soon as we can because that's where life is going to start.
No, Nikki, we didn't drive. We took an airplane.
No. I know. I'm saying your mom wanted to get there as soon as you could. So you didn't drive. That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. You wanted to go to California.
That's right.
So let me ask you this. You said you got into guitar after you had a jaw injury. What happened with your jaw injury that made you look at your sister's guitar and want to play it?
Well, so I had an injury that lasted for about 6 months recovery time. And my mouth was wired shut and I had a lot of time to kind of reflect on life up till that point. And my sister got a guitar for Christmas and she got three guitar lessons, right? And then she came, and I had never really had instruments in the house to play, but she came home from one of her free 3-day trial lessons and she had a tablature piece of paper and she had a cherry red Fender Strat. I mean, it was beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty rad. I said, "Whoa, that looks cool. Can I try it?" And then I put it in my hand and then I tried to form the A minor chord. And and it, I mean, it hurt, you know, and it was tough to even, this is the first time trying to form a chord, and it was tough to just, you know, and, but it was so gratifying when I just hit that chord, hit all strings and nailed that chord and let it ring out. It was just, and I don't even think the guitar was plugged in. It was an electric guitar and it wasn't even plugged in, and it just sounds so amazing. Felt really good too.
You're lucky that it was like somewhat in tune or something. Could have changed your whole destiny right there, dude. So you hit the A minor chord and then it was just like, oh my God, there's power in this. There's soul in this. There's revolution in this. Like, I know that feeling because I had that same, like, you know, kind of a, like, it was the same catalyst. As soon as I played, for me, it was an E chord. As soon as I played an E chord, I was like, oh my God, what is this? I want to know everything about it and just spend the rest of time trying to discover it, you know? So I love that it was A minor for you. Do you think it was because it was a minor, it was like a darker chord, it was like a little bit more mysterious and, you know, just, it wasn't so happy and fluffy. It was like something that had a little bit of grit to it. Was that the why the chord just resonated within you?
Yeah, I think so. No, not really. I think it was just feeling a vibration of playing. I probably couldn't even articulate what I felt then, but it was just kind of a vibration of playing an instrument and holding it and creating a noise that sounded soothing and having control of it.
And does your sister still play, or did you just kind of take it over?
Yeah, my sister, that's a good point. My sister pretty much stopped, and the guitar stayed in my room from that point on.
That's awesome. You're like, this cherry guitar is going to be in my room.
I said something like, if you want to come play it, like, you know where to find it.
That's good negotiating right there, dude. Right. That's awesome. So then what was like the first time that you started putting songs together? What was one of the first songs that you learned? Did you just sit there and like learn chords, open chords?
Yeah, I tried to learn some chords first, and then but I think when I first started playing it, it wasn't about learning. It was just about, it just felt really good to play the guitar.
Yeah,
you know, and just hear the sound. So I just kind of played around with it. I don't think I really tried to learn any chords at first, and then it got to a point where I wanted to control control the order of where the sounds would be placed. And so I started to try to, you know, learn theory and stuff.
And were you singing at all during this time, or was that like a secondary thing that came after you started playing?
Well, I think the singing probably was, you know, always, I think as far as trying to learn something, it was the guitar first. You know, actually trying to learn it, studying it, and then singing came second.
That's awesome. And like, so before guitar came into your life, what were you listening to? You weren't listening to guitar music. I think I read that in your bio. Like, it kind of shifted as soon as you started playing. So right. What were you, you were listening to hip hop and you were listening to Biggie and Tupac? Because I know you're younger than I am, because I remember I was listening to N.W.A. and Ice Cube, but right. You said that you were right in the middle of the 90s East Coast versus West Coast feud. So were you a Biggie fan or a Tupac fan or both?
I mean, honestly, to be quite honest with you, I remember in the 90s, I was pretty young, so my music intake was censored very heavily, and then it was cassette tapes and, you know, and radio for me. So if I didn't catch the beginning or end of the song, I probably wouldn't ever get to know the artist's name. But there was a big feud, and I was on the East Coast during that feud, and so by default Biggie was everything, you know. I remember going to a outdoor music store when they still sold CDs, and I saw a pack of two CDs, or I think maybe it was two discs. No, I'm sorry, two cassette tapes, and it had bald man. And I thought it was just, and it said Tupac on it. And I thought that that meant that this was a Tupac of cassettes. I had no idea that was, I had no idea that was an artist. That's how much they just like under marketed Tupac during that time. So I was a Biggie fan.
Well, I, you know what? It's funny because like I saw Tupac in the movie Juice. Did you ever see the movie Juice?
I did.
And so that was the first time I'd ever seen him do anything. And, you know, he was kind of like an evil character in that. So right. when he started rapping, I almost thought it was like, really, you're going to rap now? I just saw you in this movie. Because, you know, when an actor sometimes starts a music career or vice versa, a musician starts an acting career, it's kind of like, it's very difficult to do both very well. So I kind of gravitated towards Biggie as well because I loved the beats that he'd come out with. Yeah. And I just really loved like the swagger of the East Coast hip hop. But I was, you know, I grew up with Dre and Ice Cube and NWA. So when Dre kind of like took Tupac under his wing, I kind of was like, all right, I'm going to start gravitating a little bit towards that West Coast thing too, because, you know, it was, the songs were undeniable to, you know, California, like, those, the California Love, you know, it's like, you can't deny that's a great song. I'm sure every East Coaster is like, damn, that song is just good, you know. But Biggie's, I think all of their music was just, it was just great. So, I you know, it's undeniable. And it's kind of a shame that there was this East Coast, West Coast feud because, you know, you come to learn that they were friends, you know. And it's like, it all just turned ugly. And it, you know, it was probably all just to sell records. Who knows? But, yeah, man, so you were into this hip-hop feud, and then all of a sudden you study guitar, or you start learning guitar. Well, who was the first instrument, who's the first musician that played guitar that you were just like, oh, my God, this is amazing?
Well, I can't tell you that, but I'll tell you that I remember listening to Seeing Sounds by NERD. That was back in the early 2000s. And I said, wow, that was instrumental, you know, full instruments for hip hop. Yeah. It was intense. It was crazy.
Dude, I've seen them. I saw them play. And a good friend of mine is the guitarist, Brent Paschke. He was the guitarist he's still the guitarist for Pharrell, but yeah, he was the guitarist in NERD from the very beginning. So yeah. All those older records, it was crazy. He came over here for a session. He started playing a couple of the grooves. And you know, you hear those tracks and, yeah. You know, it's just like there's a vibe to it. When you hear the person playing it that's on the track, it's like, oh, my God, there's something that's kind of electric when I hear that. It's like, yeah. Oh, man, there's like this distance you have with records. And then as soon as it's like right in front of you playing it, it's like, oh, my God, this is just a lightning in a bottle right here, you know. So NERD, yeah. Awesome, awesome. Who else?
Who else? I think I really got inspired by local musicians. Like I just remember when I would say like 8 years back now, and like when I first decided to be brave enough to hop on stage. I remember prior to that, I would just always like look at the musicians that were playing on stage and just, they weren't really professionals. They were just, you know, doing their thing on stage with the guitar in their hand. And they felt really good and the music sounded all right. So it was cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that. When I was reading your bio, I was like, you know, what's so cool about that, it's like you didn't pay attention to what the charts were saying or what was responding to you in that way. It was about what was right around you influencing your sound as you were playing gigs and stuff. And I just think that's amazing because you don't hear many stories where it's like local musicians under the radar were like a major influence, but they always are. I think that that's like one of the things that's great about music is you pull from a community. So did you kind of get into a scene where you were playing with a lot of the same people for a while? Like what clubs were you kind of playing or what kind of, rooms were you? Open mics? What were you doing?
I think I got propelled on stage at an early time because I started playing in on the west side a lot because I met a musician on the east side. I was supposed to move to the east side, but I ended up moving to the west side. And while looking for an apartment on the east side, I met a musician, and then he started, you know, working and gigging on the west side. So naturally, when we started jamming, he pushed me on stage, and I started playing restaurants and a couple of clubs. And then I realized that's a tough place to start for a brand new musician.
Oh yeah.
First show. I didn't know much. I just felt the experience and it felt really good. And there's a lot of growth. But then when I reassessed what I was doing and how the experiences were, I started doing open mics. So I experienced an abundance of Los Angeles open mic scene.
And those are tough rooms. Those are tough rooms to play. Open mics, I always find, like, you know, it's hit or miss most of the time. But if you go to one that's, like, really big, you're playing for a full room of people that are just waiting to get up and play. You know what I mean? It's very hard to find, like a room that where it's, like, a warm vibe of an open mic.
I like that term, warm vibe. It's like it feels good and inviting, and but also I think you're right that everyone is waiting to be heard. But then it kind of, and I realized that too when I would go. I was kind of trying. I was nervous because I thought I was going to have an audience. But then that actually kind of helped me out to realize that everybody's waiting to get on. And then it became, can I create something that an artist will appreciate, an actual musician that will want to hear it? And that became a cool project.
So you kind of wanted to attack the room in a way that was like, let me bring everybody together instead of let me play my songs and get off the stage.
Like who's trying to jam? Who's trying to make music together? We're all creative. I'm creative. And let's all, you know, be free and have fun here.
I love that. And how did you come up with the name Studded Leather? I know you and I have talked about it, but I want to get it on camera, man.
Oh wow, yeah, no, Studded Leather is. I got into this. I got into a lot of punk rock when I was first starting. I think that was the initial phase of music for me because it was so aggressive and you can really feel it. And so I don't know. I got inspired by, I just wanted to fuse two things that were kind of edgy and bold.
That's awesome. So, you know, what's cool about it is it leads you to ask the question, where does this name come from? That's what's cool about it.
Yeah,
it's inviting, like studded leather. Cause like, yeah. You know, you think of a jacket or you think of boots or you think of a belt or something, you know, and it's got a vibe because it's all those things are associated with music on every level and in different genres. You can have studded leather, it could be a country thing or it could be like a heavy metal thing. It could be so many different things. So I love that it's peculiar in a way that makes you want to inquire, like, where did this come about, you know, and why does it work? You know,
but the thing is, it's like, I wanted to create music that sounded more like studded leather, right?
What does studded leather sound like? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's, I was like, what does studded leather sound like? So we're still, you know, it's right now it sounds really melodic and smooth and mellow and jazzy. With notes of hip hop, subtle notes of hip hop. But
you and I recently did a Songwriters in the Round with Abby Posner. How did you meet Abby? I don't think I've ever asked you. How did you guys meet?
Abby and I met through another guy who I may have played a show with or at his, let's see here. I believe Abby and I met because I played a show and I was I was introduced to her through someone who I think promoted that show. And so I played, Abby does a show, she used to, pre-COVID, she used to do a show in Culver City, I believe once a month in downtown Culver City. And I remember playing once or twice, and it was a good time. It was fun.
How are you dealing with all the stuff with COVID, with how musicians can't play out and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, listen, I'm dealing with it just like everyone else, and it gives you more time to create. And I know a lot of artists, when I listen to them, they always say they took a year to, that they just made like 4 songs a day for a whole year. And then, you know, 8 of those songs ended up being amazing. And I'm not doing that, but you know, it's good time to build and grow.
I find like I'm spending a lot more time practicing, which I love, because sometimes when you're creating, if you're making a record or if you're like working or touring or playing shows, you're kind of like just kind of encapsulating those moments. But like practicing, you kind of, sometimes it can fall by the wayside because you're working on, you know, either a session or a gig or whatever. But what I love, it's like I'm just working a lot on just things that I want to take time to learn, whether it's songs or sounds or just learning material, just so I can kind of like piece things together. So I find that like the one thing about artists that I think is just kind of amazing, I mean, I don't know one artist that's not creating during this time. You know, it's like they're just working on the craft like nothing has ever changed, only different the same way.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I don't know. I've actually, to be, you know, completely transparent, I've played a lot less lately, and it's felt really good. You know, I felt like I was on a cycle of playing a lot before, and it's been nice to take a break from it. I played here and there, and whenever I come back, it feels really good and play. But I'm taking a nice break, and it's been
pretty. Sometimes cool. You need that. Sometimes you need that to kind of like give yourself like life experiences or just mental space to kind of like figure out what you want to say or what you want to write about or what you want to listen to. Yeah. Like, I love that. Yeah. So tell me about your creative process. Tell me how you write songs.
How do I write songs?
Do you start with a groove? Do you kind of start with a title? Do you start with words?
Let's see here. It's been a while. I start with a groove usually, or I'll start with a catchy phrase that has something to do with an experience I've had or something I've learned. That way I can turn it into a mantra and reaffirm it. Usually I try to write something that's positive. So if I have a positive affirmation, it's easier to say it, to repeat it if it's in a song.
Love it. And that's one of the things I noticed when we did the Songwriters in the Round. I loved your tunes because they're like hypnotic, the bluesy influence. Like they had like, you know, a little bit of the perfect dichotomy of like a little bit of rugged and then a little bit of finesse and then a little bit of like hard edges and then a little bit of like smoothness. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like I just found that the combination that you kind of would use was really just, it was striking. I loved it, man. It was very original. You know, you hear a lot of songwriters and sometimes it's real easy for people to sound generic, like whatever the next pop star sounds like. But I always love when you hear something that's like, oh, that's different. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like how I came up. I was way into African music. So like we would be booked with all these like heavy metal rock bands. We'd be playing like soukous and African guitar.
Oh, yes.
And that's the stuff I love, man. Yeah.
Dude, so, I could talk to you about that for hours. That's my jam.
Well, let's talk about it. So African music is an influence on you? Like, tell me about that. Like,
so lately, you know, I went to Paris last year, and prior to that, I was trying to, I mean, you never hear soukous here. You know, everything is blues inspired in America. Right. But when I was there, I mean, prior to going, I'd heard Sukus and I started getting into it and I started researching it and I saw and I heard it and it just sounded so, it's very similar to blues, but it's a little bit more upbeat, you know, a little bit more, has more.
It's very happy. It's very happy,
positive.
Positive. It's very happy. And you know what? I find it to be the roots of all dance music.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially like even current dance music, when I hear like drops, that's Sukus, dude. That Sukus was doing that 100 years ago. You know, it's like, so I'm way into African music. I just find it to be the root of all music on some level, you know?
Yeah. I can agree with you there. I started to hear it more once I knew what to listen for. I started to hear it more in modern pop music. All gospel is a big Paris. And I have my guitar in hand. I'm playing at cafes, just having a coffee or a beer and playing at cafes, just messing around. And I got invited to some kind of jam session. And I get there and I show up and I get on and I play some blues. And it does really well. They haven't heard American blues in a very long time, you can tell. And right. It's a novel thing there. And it's when I have a good time. And this guy after me gets on with the West African vibes. I mean, he didn't know what he was saying, but it was incredible. I mean, everybody was dancing and uncontrollably, and the vibes were just incredible. You know?
That's what, you know, I actually took a family trip a long time ago, maybe it's almost 20 years ago, to Africa. And it changed me completely, man. It was like, you hear all that Western guitar lines, those South African guitar lines, just the rhythms and the drums, the bass. So, like, you know, there's African music is like a really big part of what I do as an artist. And I'm working on a new record. It's actually finished. But, part of this new record is, we're going into a different, you know, genre, going more into rock and more blues. But there's a couple African songs on the record just to like kind of like show people like, yo, we still do this. This is still who we are. And we're going to go in some other directions. But music is cyclical, you know, so like everything comes back through these terminals. And I always find that coming back through the African terminal is just never going to go out of style for me. It's always going to be like some of the best lines, some of the best parts arcs in. You'll hear it in like funk music, James Brown. You'll hear it in reggae. You'll hear it in all these, like, you know, now I hear it, like you said, in pop music, and you see how it kind of like, you know, transforms and evolves in different ways. Tell me, like, that scene in Paris had to be super vibrant with so many different genres constantly from club to club or from city to city. How did that influence you as an artist just to inspire you to write?
It influenced me a great deal. I tried to get his information and see if we can, you know, get together.
That's awesome.
You know?
That's awesome. Let's listen to something you did. Do you want to play something studio or do you want to play something live first?
Let's see how the studio one goes. How's that?
All right. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's see. Let's start with the first one.
All right, Ronan. I think he's got the link. I think it's something's got to change.
Yeah. July 1st, 2020.
black man guy, ain't nothing for me. Protests were black and white. He said, I'm tired of his ball and chain. His head is running down for some people. Something's got to change.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Slamming, dude. Dude, very Robert Johnson, bro.
Oh, man. Thank you.
Dude, so rootsy.
Thank you.
What were you going to say? You said he, and then you stopped.
That's incredible, man.
He's, you know what? His story is insane. I actually think he is the most influential musician of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like he's inspired so many genres, and he's still, you know, such a major pioneer in the music, you know. Dude, I love, were you playing Open E?
I think I changed it. You know, I haven't played that song in so long. I did change the tuning, and I did maybe it was in G. I want to say G or D. Yeah. Awesome. I haven't played that song in so long. It's and it's the first and last song I've written in that tuning. Apropos to our African music conversation, I was inspired by griot tuning. So whatever that is, it's that.
That's awesome. I was going to ask you, when did you write this song?
I wrote it around the George Floyd incident.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask you, like, how that whole, you know, a movement has influenced you as a writer, because, dude, that song is bitching. I love it. I love it. It's just poignant.
Thank you very much. I mean, that was my protest and my addition to the protest, because I didn't go out and, you know, storm the streets, and COVID was going on and I have, you know, my family to worry about. But, and so that was my protest. That was my addition to the protest. And I played that song, alongside another one at a 4th of July situation. And it reached people, and I was happy that I got to. I was happy that I, instead of, you know, running the streets, I was inside creating something that I could use to say and plant seed into people.
It's a powerful song, man. I mean, honestly, all the words you were saying, they're just potent. There's no room for bullshit. That's what I like. It's just like, this is the message, you know, and it's you shouldn't stop playing that song. That song should be kind of like part of your anthems, dude. That's definitely got a vibe to it, man.
Yeah. But you know what we were saying, I mean, that's a really heavy song. I mean, it's some, like you said, some truth in there, and it's, you know, it's, it comes with a vibe, you know. It's like, yeah, it's serious. You probably wouldn't sing that song smiling.
Right. But you know what? I mean, it's like, sometimes people need to hear that. That's why we're artists, dude. It's like, I always love artists for, you know, the fact that we're always willing to dance on the line. We're always like up on the line that should be, you know, and we're like, that's where we start, you know, because that's where we have to write from. We have to write from that place. It's like, we're conflicted about the way we're seeing something happen. And then our view is what takes us to that next level of propulsion. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, yeah, we dance on the edge. So that's what makes that song so great. It's something we need to hear, dude. You know, tell me like how that, you know, that whole George Floyd and that this entire Black Lives Matter movement, how has it changed you as an artist?
We'll see. I mean, still, I'm sure it's the evolution is still taking place, the change.
Do you feel a desire to write more politically driven songs now, or even just like, you know, movement inspired, or do you feel like it's always been a part of what you do, and it'll come and go as you feel the need for it to be there?
I look at music as being come through me. It comes, and you know, I've written songs. I've labored and I've birthed songs, and it's good. And I like, but I really enjoy the process of you know, receiving songs from who knows where. You know, those moments where you get the lyrics and the song is done, like 3 minutes, you know, you have the chord, you hear it first, I guess. It's different for everyone probably, but you hear it first and then you play it, you find the chords, you play it, and the lyrics just kind of come. The chords just basically tell you the lyrics, and then it just kind of comes. That's a really nice process, you know. I look back at the other day at my discography, if you can call it that yet, but most of my songs are about love and political stuff. So
that's the dichotomy right there. It's like everything good and then everything that needs fixing, you know. That I find that I write from the same place, man. It's like, you know, I feel like things are positive and I always try to take a positive spin on things, but then there's some things that need change, man. There's some things that you have to write about, things that are like more politically driven. The new record that I'm just about to release, it's called Revolutions, because of all the things that are going on. It's like such a timely thing. And the actual song Revolutions, I started writing 5 years ago. You know, it wasn't like about this particular movement. It was actually about the Egyptian movement when that was going on, you know, and it just made me realize that people are going to constantly push human race forward, borders together. It's like trying to erase the lines. You see that's what the world wants, you know, as a whole, but you see governments kind of trying to, you know, separate us. And so I always love when artists are writing about those potent things that, you know, it's not about the radio waves. Nobody, you know, wants to hear a revolutionary song on the radio wave, but like, that's what we need. And sometimes those songs end up on the revolution, you know, on the waves, because people want to hear it. You know, people want to hear those voices. So, man, you should put that groove to, do you have a, like, is, do you have a studio version where it's you and drums or no?
No.
Man, it would be so cool to hear that with a hip hop beat, man. You playing that like a throwback blues with like merging that hip hop thing too, man. That would be badass, dude. It would be pretty sick. Something to experiment with. All right, let's have you play something live. What are you gonna play us next?
I'm gonna play you a song. I think this is my latest song. Well, second latest.
What's it called?
It's called "Teach Me." How's it sound?
Yeah, Ronan, just make sure that the sound is correct. It should be a turn off original sound. Let me see. All right, play it now.
So this song is called "Teach Me," and I wrote this song one day because it was raining.
Teach me how to love like you. 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 All my life I've searched for you. I searched for you. All my life I searched for you. search for you, search for you. Search for you, and you said friendly love is another too, but you'll never leave my side, 'cause I know it's true. Friendly love is another too, but you'll never leave my side, but you'll never leave my side, but you'll never leave my side, because I know it's true. Teach me how to love, teach me how to love, teach me how to love like you. Teach me how to love like you. Teach me how to love like you. All my life I search for you.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool, man.
Thank you.
Got like this soul thing, dude. I love it. It's really tight.
All right. Thank you.
You're like, all right. So tell me, who are you listening to now? Like, now that you've gone through like years of playing out, years of writing, years of recording, who's inspiring you right now?
I'm inspired by, there's not a who, there's a what. And the what is learning more about playing in a band setting, the dynamic of that.
That's awesome. Yeah, there's something special about that. I never take it for granted, man. I always look forward to rehearsals. I always look forward to gigs. There's something about playing with other people that's special. I think beautiful thing about it, when you play solo, you've got all this space. When you're playing with people, you have less space, and it's about making everything balanced and work, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like there's a chemistry that you have to figure out with both, and it's never something that you can expect or plan, because the moment you do that, that's when things go awry, you know? So how many people are in your band?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're a quintet. Yeah.
What's the instrumentation? Bass, drums, another guitar, piano,
acoustic piano, and vocalist. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And so, do you write for the band, or do you guys write together collectively?
We play. It's a gospel. It's a worship team. So we play. CCM.
Let's play another track, a studio track. What are we going to play next?
We're going to play track number 2.
Track number 2. Tell me a little bit about it. Give me a little backstory on the song.
Let's see.
Call on God. It's got a very potent title.
Call on God was when I started the song that I played live. I said that was my most recent song. Calling God is my most recent song. That just came out. It's kind of a note to itself to not take things for granted.
I like that. All right. That's good notes. All right, here we go. Here's Call on God.
Front page, another nigga sweating on a bright stage. Get your knee off of his neck, he can't breathe. Trying to grow a garden, so I plant seed. Running out of gas, I need a refill.
Working all these hours just to pay bills. Sacrifice you have to make to be free. Father always asks, why don't you call me? Why don't you call me, son? Why don't you call me, son? Why don't you call me, son? Father, I am calling on you. Why don't you call me, son? Why don't you call me, son? Father, I am calling on. Really, all I need is a vacay. Counting down the time until next payday. Every time I see another headline, they're tearing down another one of my kind. What did we do so terrible? I know that God is gonna work a miracle. He did it time before and he will again. Not worried about the outcome, I know who will win. So why don't you call on him? Why don't you call on him? Why don't you call on him? Father, I am calling on you. Why don't you call on him? Why don't you call on him? Father, I am calling on. Lord, I pray that you have to you. Why don't you call on him? Why don't you call on him? Father, I am calling on you. Why don't you call on him? Why don't you call on him? Father, I am calling on you.
Yeah, man. Sounds great, dude. You were doing like a bossa nova in some of those lines, dude. Yeah. So killing, man. So killing. Dude, where can people find you if they want to follow you on Instagram or any kind of SoundCloud? What's your link or links?
Well, like, I just want to say thank you so much, Nikki. It's been a pleasure to chat with you. If anyone wants to get in contact with me, you can find me at Studded Leather Music, StuddedLeather Music. On Instagram, and all my information is there.
Awesome. Derek, aka Studded Leather, you've been an amazing interview. We're gonna have to collaborate, man. I love the way you write songs, dude. I love the voice and I love the message and the potency of your lyrics and what you're writing about, man. So, dude, blessings to you and your family, and stay healthy, stay inspired, man. We're gonna have to collaborate soon enough, okay?
Let's do it, man. Blessings to you, too.
Thanks, man. Be good, dude. Thanks for doing the interview, man. It was great.
All right. Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Likewise, man. All right, man. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Talk soon.